are the answers from the Word of God as we let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your mind and on your heart. 308-9564, area code 843-308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. And we also have the text line available for you to text in your question. The text line number is 843-725-9283. That's 725-9283. That is the number for you to text in your question. We have three lines available here at the station, but we only can get calls through and talk to someone one at a time. And so if you call and it's just ringing, please just go ahead and let it ring. Do not hang up. Just continue to let the phone ring, and then we will be able to get to your question as soon as possible. As well, we ask that you would please also be courteous of those who may be after with you and waiting on you to finish your question. So when you do call in and you get through, please try to get your question asked as quickly as possible so we do not tie up the line, so we can get everyone's calls in. We would appreciate that. And so that would be able to help us to be more efficient and more effective in giving you the answers to the questions that are on your mind and on your heart. So once again, that phone line number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. As well as the text line number that we have, you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
Both lines are now available, and we are glad to be able to be with you today, June 8th, 2014. We are glad to be able to go to the Bible for the questions that are on your mind. And please go ahead and know that you can call in with your voice right now. Both lines are available, 308-9564. You can get through with no problem at all. You ask your question. You set the topic for today's discussion. You set the theme, but God gives the answers as we go to His Word for the answers, and we will only go there because that is all we need to know. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, all things that pertain to life and godliness are given to us through the knowledge of Him who's called us by glory and virtue. And we know that we have everything that provides for us as far as how to get to heaven and how to live in this life. The scriptures are given to and profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped to every good work. So we're going to go there for the answer. And the reason we only want to go to God's Word for the answer, first of all, because that's where the answers are. Second of all, if we tell you what we think, well, we're actually calling down a curse upon ourselves. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, we would encourage you to read that, and we are very mindful of that. Verse 8 says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we preach to you, let them be accursed. So we do not want to be cursed, and we do not want you to be cursed because you might listen to something that we might come beyond God's word for. So we're going to just, you hold us to that. Make certain that we go to book, chapter, and verse for everything that we answer. Now, by the way, you can text us as well. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line, if you have a cell phone, you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line, and you can text us your question as well. So don't miss out on that. And by the way, if you have friends or relatives that are out of town, that are out of state or out of some other place in the world, if you can contact them right now, they can also tune in no matter where they're at in the world simply by going to our website at www.BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com, and they can listen anywhere in the world via their computer just by hitting the live stream button. They can also, with that same website, they can text us. There is a box on the bottom of the screen where they can just type in the question, and it will be sent to us here in the studio right now. So it's amazing technology today. Anywhere in the world, they can tune in. So now's your chance to call in your question, 308-9564. That's the voice line, or text line at 725-9283. Chuck?
We want to be mindful of a warning that we are given here, and Ricky mentioned it there in Galatians chapter 1 about we are an angel from heaven if we preach any other gospel. It says, let them be accursed. Far too often, there's some people like to discredit some of the promises that God has shown us in his word that aren't necessarily promises that we think are they're not positive promises. You know, a lot of people think that just promises are just all the promises of God are just always nice and beautiful and just so wonderful for us. And indeed, there are many, many, many promises that God gives us that are, you know, he promised us eternal life if we obey him. He promised us that Christ is making mansions for us in John chapter 14. He tells us. And he said that he will be one with us, and he's given us his spirit to help us. And so, yes, there are many, many beautiful promises that God has blessed us with. But another promise that God has shown us in his word is the fact that he promises that if we disobey him, we will be punished. And for as much as receiving heaven for obedience is a promise, receiving the hell for disobedience is also a promise. And, you know, far too often we forget the warnings or the admonition that God tries to tell us, that he will not stand for unrighteousness. He will not just accept the unrighteousness. He wants holiness. He wants obedience from love. He wants obedience from the heart. He wants us to truly accept him. And so when we're on the airwaves and we're answering your questions and we're giving you book, chapter, verse for your answers, it's because we don't want you to think that we're giving you these answers based off of our own knowledge. We're giving you these answers based off of God's word, book, chapter, and verse, so you can know that this is the scriptures that are teaching you and not some guys on the radio. We're mindful of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that shows those people there in Thessalonica received the word of God in a certain way, and it affected them because of the way they received it. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and you look in verse 13 where he says, here's the Holy Spirit is using Paul the apostle to speak and write to the Christians here in the church in Thessalonica. We see in chapter 2 verse 13, he says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So you have to receive these words as the word of God and not the word of man. And so it can effectively work in you if you believe it. So please go ahead and call in your questions, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Again, the lines are available. The voice line is ready for you to call right now if you want to call, 308-9564. We have this text question coming in from the last three digits, 113, and they want to know, what was Jesus trying to teach his disciples in Mark 14:34 and 38 when he says, watch with me, watch and pray? Well, let's just look at the passage, and it does bring out that. He says, starting with verse 32, says, then they came to the place which was called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch. And he went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And I believe by just reading the next verse, you'll find your answer. He brings out verse 36, Abba, Father, these things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he came and he found them sleeping and said to them, Simon, are you still sleeping? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And so we can see that he was warning them to be mindful of the temptation that they were just about ready to face when Jesus was arrested. And he was praying for strength from his Father, and praying for help from the Father. And another account, we find the angels even ministered to him in this event. And he's wanting them to also to be strong in face of the temptation that he was about to go through. And so that's what he was praying for them, and that's what he wanted them to be praying for, lest they be tempted and fall into temptation. And so, therefore, that's exactly what he was wanting them to do. So if you just read the context, you'll be able to see that pretty clear. And it was he was wanting them to be strong in the face of that temptation that they were facing. So, again, the number is 308-9564. It sounds like we're having a little trouble with our voice line right now. We apologize for that. We're trying to work that out. These phones sometimes do wear out from all the use. And so go ahead, if you can, go ahead and text in your question, and we'll be able to get it immediately. The text line is 725-9283. That's 725-9283. That is the text line. If you want to go ahead and text us, you can text in your question. If you don't have the ability to text, then just be patient. We'll get the phone system straightened out in just a moment. Again, the number, the text line is 725-9283, or the voice line, when we get it repaired here, 308-9564. It is time for us to take our first break. While we are at break, we'll continue to work on this, and Lord willing, we'll have it fixed by the time we get on the other side of the break. Again, remember, what we're about to offer to you is absolutely free. It is a Bible correspondence course. We're happy to send it to you free of charge. Again, go ahead and continue to call in and text in your questions. The text line right now is 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We are back live, and once again, we just want to reference that our phones, we are having some technical difficulties with our phone line. So if you can text in your question, use the text line, not to call, but text in your question, the 725-9283, 725-9283, that is the number to text in your question. Right now, we are having some temporary difficulties with the phones here, and so we can't hear you. The calls are coming in. We're aware that calls have been coming in, but we cannot actually hear you over the phone. So we'll keep working on that, and hopefully, Lord willing, we'll be able to get to a point where we can hear that. But for the time being, please go ahead and text in your questions as you can. Text line is 843-725-9283. That's 725-9283 is the text line for your texting your question. We haven't made mention of our website. We have a website, Ricky did mention it earlier, but I'll mention it again. www.biblealone.com. That is the website that we have. You can actually send in the questions through the website as well. You can live stream the program. There is a button down there on the screen where on the landing page where you can hit that it says live streaming, and it will take you to a link that you can hear the program live streaming anywhere in the world. So anyone who is outside of the listening audience that is not in the surrounding areas, you can let them know that they can go to BibleAlone.com to hear the program live streaming. And you can also send questions in through the website as well. And there are also a lot of free studies and free Bible information on the website as well. So we have that available on www.biblealone.com. And so we just want to make you aware of that. And also, let me remind you of the Bible correspondence course. We want to continue to encourage everyone, if they can, to sign up for that. The Bible correspondence course is a great tool that can help you at your leisure, at your own time, to be able to study the Word of God in depth. You can get some in-depth study of the Word of God for yourself. It's not connected to any kind of extra teachings. It's just strictly God's Word, book, chapter, verse. A lot of straightforward yes or no answer questions that can really help to open your knowledge of God's truth and God's word without any kind of added teachings to it. And, you know, far too often there's plenty of extra teachings and man-made teachings that are added to the Word of God. And we earnestly try to stay away from all of that. It is our heart's desire that you are only hearing the Word of God and that you're not getting it mixed up with us or what we're saying. It's not about us. It is all about the Master. It is all about the Creator. And we want to stress that, and we try to continue to stress that every time we're in front of you, whether it's over the radio airwaves or those that we meet face to face. We are able to meet people face to face from time to time, and that is also is actually our strongest desire that we really want. We want to be able to get in touch with you, to get face to face and be able to sit down and have a Bible study with you. So the Bible Correspondence Course is through the mail, but you know, we do like to meet people, you know, face to face in their home or, you know, anywhere else that you want to meet that's comfortable for you, that we can sit down and open the Bible together and look at the truth of God's word, book, chapter, verse, without any kind of extra teachings or anything. So that is, if that's your desire, please dial 553-5157. You can leave your information there on the message and let us know that, hey, I want to have a study with you guys. I want to have a Let the Bible Speak here in my home, or I want to be able to facilitate a get together where we just look and study God's word together and look at the truth of God's word. So if you're interested in that, dial 553-5157 and leave your information there and let us know. It will be our honor to be able to sit down and study God's word with you. But once again, to look at, to get into the program today, you can text in your question, as the phones are down right now. Text in your question to 725-9283. 725-9283.
And we are still working on the phone line, so don't give up on us. Continue to listen, and we'll go to the Bible for the text questions, and hopefully you'll be able to get through your voice very soon. Again, the number is for the voice line, it's changed. Okay, it's the line. All right, so 614 is the voice line. 614-4161. 614-4161. That's going to be our voice line. 614-4161. Okay, so everybody make a note of that. During the rest of the program, our voice line is 614-4161. And hopefully you'll be able to get through. And that's the voice line for this program today, 614-4164. We have a text question that has just come in. They want to know, if someone has a drug addiction and refuses to deal with it, should they take communion? Well, that's an interesting question. And so the best place for us to go to for the answer, of course, yes, is God's word. So let's go there and look and see what God says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he gives us detailed instructions on the communion, or the Lord's Supper, if you want to call it that. It is where we gather together to break bread. Acts 20 and verse 7 says it's supposed to be done on the first day of the week. That's when they did it. It's when Paul did it, and we're commanded to do as he did. And then he gives us instructions here on how that we should do that and who should be doing it. I'm just going to pick up with verse 24, and where Jesus came, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So it's not a suggestion, it is a command. In like manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So there he brings out that this is the new covenant in my blood. Now, my friends, what is significant about that is, if we are not in the covenant with God, with Christ, well, then we are not in that covenant, and it's meaningless to be able to partake of this. And thus we may be guilty of what he later on says, but let a man, verse 28 says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And so there's a lot of interpretations on what is being meant by that. However, we clearly see that there was a covenant being remembered between us and God as we eat and drink with him and eat and drink this communion. So to say that if someone is practicing sin without repentance, Well, then that would certainly be a problem from the standpoint that they must do. But nowhere does this say that we should be policing this. This is between the individual and God. They may be eating and drinking damnation to himself. So that is something that they may do. Now, if they're in sin and practicing sin, well, they're already damned. They're already expecting the eternal damnation that will come from God himself. And so, yes, but what this is intended to do is to encourage us to keep more fervently our covenant that we have entered into him when we became a child of God to begin with. Now, it doesn't occur when we believe alone. If you add repentance to it, it still does not occur. If you add confession of our faith, it still does not occur. We enter into that covenant with God when we die in baptism, to die and walk in newness of life. That is where we enter into that covenant when we die with Christ in baptism, to rise and walk in newness of life. And so there are the ones that are to be eating and drinking, remembering that covenant that we've made with him. And so thank you so much for your question. Again, that was from the phone number 378. We sure do appreciate that's the last three digits of their phone number. Again, if you have a question, you can call in your question. Is the phone line now consistent? Okay, the phone line is 614-4161. 614-4161 is the voice line. If you want to call in your question, you can do so right now. 614-4161, and you can call in your question, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. It's time for us to take our next break. While we are at break, please continue to call in your questions, and be mindful. We're about to tell you about the correspondence course. If you've never received this before, you don't know what you're missing. First of all, it is free, absolutely free. We'll never ask for a donation of any kind whatsoever. Matter of fact, please just put away your checkbook, put away your wallet. Let us send you treasure that will last in eternity. That is, you take this correspondence course, you get into the Word of God, you read what God says in his Word, and then apply it, and it will become a treasure to you that will never be taken away. And so this will be something that will help you very, very much. Because you see, most churches today are restricted from telling the whole truth, and they're restricted from telling nothing but the truth because they have the doctrines that they must operate within. So let's just put all those walls that prevent us from finding the whole truth aside, and let's get into the Word, studying it for ourselves, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can we help you in that? Go ahead and call the 553-5157 for the Bible Correspondence Course. It is absolutely free, 553-5157. You shouldn't get a busy signal there. The line is working just fine, 553-5157, and it is a correspondence course we are happy to send to you free. Again, the number is 553-5157. That's for the correspondence course. We apologize again for our voice line being down, but we've had to change the number. The number now is 614. That's the voice line. If you have a question, you want to call it in with your voice, 614-4161, 614-4161, and you can call in your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak. Our text line is also available, 725. 9283, 725-9283 is the text line, and we will let the Bible speak. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we're happy that you have joined us this afternoon. We thank you, those of you that are calling in the questions. We're honored to be able to receive them, and we are thrilled to be able to go to God's Word for the answer. You set the theme. You set the topic of discussion as we go to the Bible, because God is the one that's going to answer it through his Word. And there's no program like this on this station, and so we're glad to be able to fill in this need for being able to find what God says on the questions that are on your heart. Maybe something happened today at church, or you've had an ongoing discussion with someone on a certain topic. Well, why not? Let's go to the Bible to find out what the Bible has to say, and thus we're able to be able to have eternal value from those kind of questions. And so please don't hesitate to call. The voice line for today is 614-4161, 614-4161, and we can get your question. You can either go live over the air, or it can be written down and brought into us. It is your choice. That is the voice line. And the text line is 725-9283. We're happy to get your question, so go ahead and call right now. Excuse me, almost said it. 614-4161. That is the voice line today. And we will let the Bible speak. Chuck, you have a question?
Oh, yeah, we have Leslie calling in this question. Leslie, thank you so much for listening to the program. Leslie is a consistent listener, and we really appreciate you being able to call in your questions. And we are overjoyed at some of the questions that you give to us. There's a lot of thought-provoking questions. So, Leslie, we really appreciate it. Please continue to listen to the program and call in your questions. Thank you. Her question today is, should a Christian marry a non-Christian? If you look at a couple of scriptures, it shows that there were sometimes relationships where one of the spouses was a Christian and the other was not. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, because it talks about wives and how they are supposed to be around their unbelieving husbands. It uses a term verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 3 says, likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. So here in 1 Peter 3, 1, it uses the term husbands that do not obey the words. I would take that to be a non-Christian. And if you know that all the letters from Romans through Revelation, they're written to the churches, they're written to people who have been saved, people who have been baptized into Christ, believers who have committed themselves to obeying the word of God. And so that, you know, a lot of times people forget that that's what these letters were written to. They were written to those type of people. So these letters are written to Christians. And so it was about here how wives would handle themselves with husbands that did not obey the word. And then if you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it gives a little bit greater detail about how non-Christians and Christians, if they were married, how they would interact with one another. It talks about the unbelieving husband or the unbelieving wife. And those verses are 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. And so while we do have a couple of scriptures that show what would happen or how things would be for one spouse being a Christian and the other not, it might actually show that these weren't necessarily people who they became married after one was a Christian and they just became married to a non-Christian. It seems maybe as if that these people here who he was talking to, once again, these are Christians who have been converted. It seems that they were not Christians, and then they heard the word of God, and one of the spouses obeyed the gospel and became a Christian, while the other did not. And so that seems like that is more appropriate to what these passages are looking for and what they're speaking about. And if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, it tells us something that a lot of people have known and know about. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, that term yoked together means to couple together. And I did a quick search on that term, and that's what the word means, to couple together or be joined together or to not have this fellowship being mutual participation or joint participation with unbelievers. He says not to have that. So it seems like it would not be a wise thing to do for a Christian to marry a non-Christian. You see that here. That God exhorts us to not be unequally yoked or coupled together with an unbeliever. So we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. But they're also concerning people who maybe they both weren't Christians when they got married, but then one became a Christian and the other didn't. We see 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2, and 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 through 16. Thank you for that question, Leslie, as well as anyone else who may have had that question. 614-4161 is the voice line today. 614-4161 is the voice line to reach us today at the station, or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
And we're waiting on your call, so go ahead and call in your question. As I deal with Joe's question here, go ahead and call right now, if you would, 614-4161, 614-4161. Joe's question is, are there any churches you can depend on as being right? Seems like that all are in errors. Well, Joe, it is appalling that you could even ask something like that, but unfortunately, you are very correct in that as well. So let me give you some verses to begin that kind of search. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18 that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not descend against it. So we can see that it belongs to him. His church, it belongs to him. He purchased it with his blood, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. In his prayer about his people, when his church begins, he prays in John 17. He says, I pray that they will all be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So being unified, one, all speaking the same thing, that there being no divisions among them, that they be perfectly joined together in the same mind and same judgment. That's 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. That was the description that God wanted his people, his church, to look like. And the fruit of that would tell the world that Jesus is real. And also back in his prayer in John 17, he says in verse 23, he says that world may know that you love them as you have loved me. So this unity, all speaking the same thing, tells the world that God loves man. Now, unfortunately, we just don't have that today. We've got every kind of church you can think of teaching every kind of doctrine that you can think of. So what could you do in order to find the church that Jesus is describing here? Well, first of all, you need to make certain that they are really saints. The way that they became Christians in the New Testament is the way that we're supposed to become Christians today. You can see the very first example of that in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 36. They're told to know that Jesus is Lord and Christ. Verse 38, they're told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And in verse 47, when they did this, the Lord himself added them to his church. So there's how to become a child of God. We see that consistent all the way through the book of Acts, that's the way people became children of God. So if people today are not following those same guidelines, including baptism for the remission of sins, then are they really Christians? Are they really saints? Second of all, you might consider, what name is the church following? If it is giving glory to man, such as John or Luther or some other doctrine, and it's not one belonging to Christ, well, then that brings out a red flag. Then you might look and compare the worship that Jesus described his church to participate in versus what's going on today. Jesus said, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we need to compare what the worship looks like today versus what they did in the Bible. The word worship itself means a falling down toward and giving prostrate, being homage toward God. So worship is supposed to be devoted to God. Well, there's a lot of other things that may help you in this search for the church that belongs to Christ. It should be nothing more and nothing less. If you want more information on a local group about that, we would encourage you to call 553-5157, 553-5157. And when you are encouraged to enroll in the Bible correspondence, just tell us what you want. I want to know about a local group of God's people that are just trying to be God's people. Go ahead and call that right now, 553-5157. Joe, hopefully that will help you. And we'll tell you about a group or two in this area that is endeavoring to be able to be the follow the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They're saints in real biblical form. They follow just the name that gives honor to the owner, Christ, and they worship in truth as Jesus said we're supposed to do. So go ahead and call right now and ask for that information. What we'll do is we'll call you back, and we can talk about any other question that you might have. 553-5157. Leave your name, phone number, information, and we will be glad to call you right back. One more time, that number is 553-5157. Thank you, Joe, for your question. You are to be commended. We really appreciate it. Those scriptures, Matthew 16:18, John 17:20-23, 1 Corinthians 1:10, and also Acts 2:36 through the end of the chapter. Thanks, Joe. Again, the number is 3. I'm sorry, we're still stuck on that old number. Here is the new number for today, 614. This is the voice line, 614-4161, 614-4161, and you can call in. That's the voice line. You can call in your question right now. If you'd rather just text, you can text at 725-9283. Let's see, is it time for, yes, it's time for us to take our next break. While we are at break, please go ahead and continue to call in for your questions at 614-4161, or you can text us at 725-9283. That's the text line, 725-9283. You can text in your question right now. Again, the voice line for today is different, so go ahead and call that. If you want to call in your voice with your voice, your question, you can do that is by calling 614-4161. If the line is busy, just wait and hit redial in a moment and you can get through. 614-4161. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We want you to know that we are happy to be able to be in your presence via the radio, and we hope and pray that you're getting your questions answered today on the broadcast. A little bit different today. The voice line has changed to 614-4161. That's the voice line, 614-4161. So just ignore it during the breaks when it gives the 308 number because it is out of functioning right now. It's not working. So the voice line number is 614-4161. Now, if you have a cell phone and you would like to text in your question, you can do that as well. That number is 725-9283, 725-9283. And you can text in your question right now. Now, remember what we just said in the break. We mentioned to you the importance to do things God's way because man is restricted because of the doctrinal walls or box, if you will, that they must operate within. If it falls outside of those doctrinal teachings or that box that they're in, then they will not elaborate on it because it would cause them to be called into question as far as their identity with said denomination or said doctrine that they must operate in. My friends, the Lord does not want us to operate within man-made walls or boxes that man has created, doctrines that man has come up with. He wants us to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so the only way that we can do that is to remove the blinders, remove the guidelines that man has come up with, and go to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness, not just some of them. And so we've got to make certain that we are building a faith that comes directly from God's Word, not via anyone, and that includes us. That's the reason we give you book, chapter, and verse for every truth, every answer that we give. We give you God's Word. If there is a biblical answer, if there's not an answer in God's Word, we just say the Bible does not address that. And so we go on. And so it's important. Let's not let the world, whether it is the religious world or the regular carnal world, restrict us from following anything that God wants of us. Ladies and gentlemen, I also want you to be mindful of that the things that God requires of us or He wants us to do are for our good. That's the way that we can live a good and peaceful life here. This is the way to be able to get the most out of life that God intended for us to have. It is only when we deviate from that to follow after what man has come up with when things go awry, when things go down the tube, so to speak. So please, let's find out how to live God, live it more fervently according to his instructions. Let's take the blinders off that the wicked one has put on us and let us see the truth for ourselves. Again, to get that Bible correspondence course, just simply call 553-5157 and enroll in the course, and we'll get it in the mail to you even this week. We sure do appreciate you participating in that. We're glad to be able to assist. And by the way, did we mention that it was free? It is. We will never ask for any kind of donation. Now, if you have a question you want to call it in right now, you can call 614-4161, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. Again, the text line is still the same, 725-9283. Chuck, you have a next question?
Yes, we have a question that is referencing Psalms 150 and verse 6 that says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Please explain this. Does this include musical instruments? Well, if you look at Psalms 150, it is a short passage there, and it mentions, it's saying, it's praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament, praise him for his mighty acts. It says praise him, praise him. Then starting in verse 3, it says praise him with, praise him with, praise him with, and he uses that phrase, praise him with, all the way down to verse 5, and then he says in verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So when he's talking about these musical instruments here, he's not giving life to the musical instruments. He's exhorting us to praise him with these things. So he's not including, he's not saying that the musical instruments has breath. Everything that has breath is, we see that in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, we see that he gave us, breath. He breathed life into us. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So he's saying, let all the living beings praise the Lord, the living beings. We are, as people, the living beings. And even the animals only do what God allows them to do, what they're programmed to do. Animals don't have free will. They do what God has programmed them to do. We have living, breathing life. God made us in his image. We are the living beings. And so how should we praise? Should we praise with these musical instruments? Well, we have to recognize that in Psalms 150, this is in the Old Testament. And this was exhorting them to do that. When we get to the New Testament, Christ ushered in his new law. And we know that in John 12:48, Christ says, "The words which I have spoken will judge him in the last day." So the New Testament replaces the Old Testament. We no longer live by the Old Testament to do what it says. We live by the New Testament under Christ's law. Hebrews chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10 all give off that aspect. And as well as Galatians chapter 3, Colossians 2, it's all over the New Testament here and there that the New Testament replaces the Old Testament. Christ fulfilled the old law. It was just promising the Messiah to come. And so that's what it did. It served its purpose, and God moved it out of the way and ushered in the New Testament. That's why Christ, when he was instituting his Lord's Supper, he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." It's his new covenant. So in the new covenant, we do not see musical instruments being used to praise or worship God. But what we do see is in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. This is what we see in the new covenant, in God's new testament of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God." That is, so what is the sacrifice of praise? What is praise? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So the praise to God that we're supposed to be doing is the fruit of our lips, our words, our songs. That is the fruit of our lips, and not necessarily, we just do not see anywhere in the New Testament God allowing musical instruments. We just don't see it. We see that in the Old Testament, and that's an interesting thing. In the Old Testament, we see musical instruments being used, but in the New Testament, you just do not see it. That should tell us something. 614-4161, 614-4161. It's kind of weird. It's a different number, but that is the number we're having to use today. 614-4161 is the number to call us here at the station. Please do not wait until the end of the broadcast. We got about 30 minutes left or so, two segments left. So please go ahead, call in your questions now. Do not wait till the end of the broadcast. 614-4161 to call us at the station to ask your question, and we will let the Bible speak.
Or if you'd rather, you can take your cell phone and text us at 725-9283. Either way, go ahead and call in or text in your question, and we will let the Bible speak. Before our next break, I wanted to answer Thomas's question. Thomas, thank you so much for participating today and calling in your question. His question is, does the Bible say anything about the apostolic faith? No. However, it does talk about faith. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So if the Bible talks about one faith, well, what is that faith? Well, it is the faith that comes from hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10 and verse 17. So let's talk about where did that come up from, or where did people, well, I'm sure there's a human doctrine associated with it somewhere, but just sticking with the Bible, let's go to the Bible to find out what Jesus said and what it says about the apostles and their influence on the faith being established. I'll start in John chapter 16 and verse 13, John 16, 13, where Jesus promised the apostles that he's going to go to heaven and send the Holy Spirit, who will guide you into all truth. So he told the apostles that they were going to be guided into all truth. Jesus died. He went to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, came upon the apostles. They received this power from on high as promised to them in Luke 24 and verse 44. They were promised that they would be endued with power from on high. So that's what Jesus promised. I think it's verse 46. That they were told to wait for him, wait for the Holy Spirit. And thus, in Acts chapter 2, it occurred. Well, the very first sermon was taught there in Acts chapter 2. Peter was the one that was teaching that lesson. And thus, there were people that wanted to respond to the call to obey the gospel, believing in Jesus. They were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. They received the word of God and were baptized that day about 3,000 souls, Acts 2 and verse 41. Then in verse 42, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. So there, the word of God now is referred to as the apostles' doctrine. Why? Because it hadn't been written down yet. It was coming directly through the mouth of the apostles. Matter of fact, they were the ones that had the total information about the truth all the way up to Acts chapter 6. And so it was only the apostles teaching, only the apostles that were doing miracles and establishing the faith of Jesus Christ until Acts chapter 6. And then others were involved as they were made able through the laying on of the apostles' hands, Acts 8:18. But Paul refers to this action when he says, in Ephesians chapter 3, because they had to take what they were teaching and write it down. It says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So they wrote it down. Now we know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We've got to read it, study it, to show ourselves approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for, well, it goes on to say, for every good works in verse 17. So this message came through the apostles, and thus sometimes it's called the apostles' doctrine. And hopefully that's been helpful to you, Thomas. And that's biblically the process by which we are to establish our faith. It's not going to be through some kind of name or faith that man has invented. They may come up with biblical names, but the only way to know if they are following God's word is to compare what is being taught and practiced by God's word. You shall know them by their fruits, Jesus says, and thus that is the case. Thanks, Thomas. We sure do appreciate that. Again, there were a bunch of verses there I gave you, and so hopefully that was helpful to you and you were making notes. Again, the number is 614-4161. 614-4161 is the voice line. Go ahead and call in your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak to you, the question that's on your mind. If you'd rather text, you can text us at 725-9283. Time for us to take our next break. While we are at break, continue to call in your questions. 614-4161. We'll be right back. Again, our voice line is different today, so if you want to call in your question, call 614-4161. That is the voice line to call in your question right now. Again, all of our numbers are area code 843 if you're calling from out of state. Area code 843-614-4161 is the voice line. The text line is 725-9283. The Bible Correspondence Course that we are mentioning to you, it is free, absolutely free. We do not accept donations. We are actually want to bless you with the treasure that God himself can give you from a study of his word. It is so important that we find what God's word says on the subjects before we leave this life. My friends, don't leave this life without being ready to meet God, because he's going to be the one to tell us where we will spend eternity. And we just don't want to be there unprepared. And the only way that we can be prepared is to find out what God says in his word right now, as we can go to the Bible. We have the choice the Lord has given us while we occupy these containers, our bodies, while we are here for this short few decades of life, then we are going to spend eternity somewhere. And so it's very important for us to be prepared for that day when we will spend eternity. Chuck, when we think about eternity, what is it that goes through your mind as far as when you leave this body behind? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Well, if you recognize the fact that we are on this earth, and as you mentioned, it's only a certain amount of years. If we're blessed and lucky enough, it can be decades. But even in the span of eternity, when you think about the span of time and you think about eternity, those little, you know, maybe 60, 70, 80, maybe even 100 years that we spend here on this earth are very, very small in the sight of eternity. So while we're here on this earth, we're here for us to decide, for us to make our own decisions as to how we live, if we will obey God and we can spend eternity with him in paradise in heaven. Or we can choose to disobey God and we will spend our eternity in the eternal torment and judgment in hell. And so God leaves us the choice. And I marvel at the fact that he leaves us the choice to choose to love him. We obey him by love him. We don't just obey him out of just pure fear of going to hell. We should obey him out of love, of appreciation, what he has done for us. And you think about John chapter 14, and in the Gospel of John chapter 14, where Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Verse 2 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also." I just think it's amazing that no matter what we do in this life, that God wants us to obey him and love him so that we can receive this great reward in heaven. And it's for all eternity. It never has to stop. But the choice is ours. As Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, what does it say, Rick?
Oh, Philippians.
Philippians 2:12. Work out.
Our own salvation with fear and trembling.
So it's our choice.
Yes.
And no one else's.
Yeah. You know, and when you think about it, there are things that can occur. Your comment about how that our motivation should be the love of God, what God has done for us, and that should captivate our heart. But, you know, sometimes that journey, before we really see how much God loves us and it motivates us to love him back by doing what he says, our attention is captured by fear. There is, this last week I was doing some yard work and opened up a chest where we keep some tools, and we had some bird seed in there, and some kind of varmint got in there and found that bird seed. And so he was still in there when I opened that lid, and of course, the scurrying around, well, that made me jump. And so I got back and I thought, okay, what was that? And so I went back and looked, and so found out what it was. Now, what's interesting is I didn't take off running and run down the street screaming and hollering that there is some kind of rodent in my toolbox back there. No, I didn't do that. All I did was jump back. Sometimes the Lord gives us a lot of motivation to jump, but he gives us a whole lot more information to be able to love. In Luke chapter 16, he tells us a story about the rich man and Lazarus. He gives us enough information there about hell and the torment that's associated with it to cause us to jump. Now, we live in a day and a time where people are just not wanting to hear about these things. You've probably heard no one preaches hellfire and damnation sermons anymore. Well, it's because the people don't want to hear them. But still, the Bible says what it says. Here was the rich man that had been perished and found himself in torment. And he, in torment, lifted up his eyes and asked for a drop of water. This is Luke chapter 16, verse 24. He said, "For I am tormented in this flame." So he was burning. There's not a harder, more terrible pain than the actual burning of the flesh. Then he also mentions he wants just one drop of water. There's not a more agonizing thing to taste than our mouth being totally dry and just to the point to where we're begging for just one drop of water as he was doing. So he was in agony. And then to make matters worse, the only thing he could see was what he was missing. It was across a big divide. It's called a Great Gulf here. But he could only see what he was missing. The reason we know that, Jesus describes this place as outer darkness. A lot of times the world has caused people to think that when I go to hell, we're going to have a party down there. I've heard that. Maybe you've heard that too. There's not going to be a party, my friends. It's going to be outer darkness. The only thing you're going to hear from coming from that location is weeping and gnashing of teeth, wailing. If you've never heard anybody wail, I invite you to go to a funeral and find one where someone is wailing, and you will never want to hear that again. It is agony to listen to that. Well, add that to the dry tongue and the burning of the flesh. Okay, how much worse could it be? Well, when you look and see that he was seeing what he was missing, that was agony. So it was the worst of what he could hear, what he could see, what he could feel, and what he could taste. My friend, hell is no joke. It's not going to be a party. So let's not even think about going there. Now, hopefully that makes us jump a little bit. But what it should cause us to do is to jump right into the arms of a living, loving God. And he will show us how to have hope to live with him in paradise forever. Are you interested? We hope so. And hopefully that's what the reason God told us this picture here, painted this picture for us in Luke chapter 16. Take your Bible and read that sometime today. Luke 16, verses 19 through the end of the chapter. You will never be the same if you've never read this before. Even if you have read it before, read it again. Picture yourself there with the rich man, and then picture yourself with the beggar, with Lazarus. Which place do you want to spend eternity? Yeah, I hope so too. The only way to get there is to know the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and to obey the truth. We've got to do it. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We've got to be doers of the word, not hearers only.
Indeed, Ricky, that is a sobering picture that the Lord paints. And like we mentioned earlier about the promises of God, You know, far too often people focus on the promises that lead to good things and prosperity and health and all kind of things. And that's what a lot of popular preachers are preaching about, because that's what people want to hear. That's what makes them feel good. People don't want to hear you're doing wrong. People don't want to hear you're a hypocrite. You're not living right. When Jesus did that to the Pharisees, they definitely were not happy about Jesus pointing the light on them and showing them that they were not living right. We see that in Mark chapter 7, where Jesus kind of lets them have it there about how they were living and how they were worshiping God the wrong way. He says here in Mark chapter 7, when they were talking to him, the Pharisees were talking to him about not eating or washing with not eating without washing their hands. See, they were big on washing your hands because it was a tradition of the elders, of their forefathers, not because there was a commandment that said wash your hands before you eat. And so Christ was showing them the importance of the commandments of God and not the traditions of men. And he tells them here in Mark chapter 7 and verse 6, he says, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips and their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me," or uselessness, "they worship me, teaching as commandments the doctrines of men," the teaching is of men. He says, "Fourth," in verse 8, "for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men." And he says the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. Well, that was appropriate there in the first century. But what would that look like in 2014? What type of things do you hold to in terms of worship or obeying God that aren't in God's word? Things that he doesn't tell us that we should be doing. So that's a good thing to consider. Are the congregation that that you're a part of, does it really try to do everything right according to the word of God? We see in the letters of the churches in Revelation, the first, in chapters 2 and 3, that all those churches except one, there was something that they needed to repent of. And he told them, "You must repent or I will come and remove your candlestick." And so he shows that you needed to be in a group of believers that was willing to obey all of the word of God, not just bits and pieces of it. And so we encourage you to call in to 553-5157 so you can enroll in a Bible correspondence course so you can know more and learn more about the truth of how to serve and worship God and what kind of group you are a part of. Is it really teaching you the whole truth? And are you following the whole truth to be pleasing in the sight of God? And so that we won't be in the same predicament as these Pharisees were in Mark chapter 7 that Jesus was talking about. Or, once again, like we mentioned earlier, we want to be able to sit down face to face and study with you. Are you interested in that? Would you be able to do that with us? We would be overjoyed at that. So please go ahead, dial 553-5157 and enroll. You can either enroll in a course or just leave the message there on the answering after the message there and let us know, hey, I want to have a Bible study with you guys. I want to be able to learn the truth, the whole truth, book, chapter, verse of God's word without any kind of man-made teachings added to it. So that is our earnest prayer and our earnest desire. 614-4161. We got one segment left. 614-4161. And you can call in your questions or text in your questions to 725-9283, 725-9283. We'll be right back. Indeed, this is our last segment. We've got about 12 or 13 minutes left that you can call in your questions or text in your questions. So we will be able to get it answered in this last segment so we won't have to roll over to next week. So please go ahead and call in your question if you have one. 614-4161, 614-4161. It's a different number today. We were having some technical difficulties with our other line earlier today. I tell you, that enemy is working hard to distract people from getting in. So please don't let him allow that to discourage you. Call in your question at 614-4161. We got a few minutes left in the program, just this last segment. Or you can text in your question. The text line is doing fine. We haven't gotten too many text questions. But the text line is fine. You can text in your questions at 725-9283. That's 725-9283. 9283. And once again, we just want to continue to encourage you to either sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course or let us know that you want to have a Bible study with us. You want to sit down and crack open the Bible and see the truth of God's Word without any kind of added teachings or doctrines to it, but just straight book, chapter, verse, God's truth. And it was Christ's prayer in John 17 that we would all be of like mind, that we would all be one. And he told us in verse 17, he was asking the Lord to sanctify his apostles. He said, sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God is truth. And anything that's not in the word of God, it would be false. So we can't follow things that are not in the word of God, especially when it comes to showing ourselves approved unto God. We must obey what God's word says. We can't say that we love God without obeying everything that he says. We can pick and choose what we want to obey, and that would be more of a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. We're supposed to be doing the word. And so we encourage you to do that. And it is our earnest prayer and our earnest desire that you would be interested in allowing us to help you in doing that. So the Bible Correspondence Course is a good avenue for that. As well as, once again, like I said, we like to sit down in front of you and meet you face to face and be able to talk to these people who listen to our program and who call in. We want to be able to sit down and wherever you're comfortable, if it's your home or anywhere else, so we can be able to show you the truth of God's word right there, book, chapter, verse in front of you. Let you read it for yourself and understand for yourself that this indeed is the word of God and not the word of man. We pray that we stay out of the Lord's way and that we are not in any way receiving glory or honor, but that all glory, honor, and praise goes to whom it is deserving of. And that's Jesus Christ. And it is not us, and we stay out of his way. And we just are messengers giving you book, chapter, verse of God's word. Like I said, got a few more minutes left. 614-4161. If you can call in your questions, 614-4161, or you can text in your questions, 725-9283, 725-9283. Ricky, I believe you have a text question.
Yes. Again, we want you to know the line is available for your voice line is 614-4161. Go ahead and call right now, 614-4161. Being that we are up to date on our questions, your question will get on the line today. So go ahead and call right now, 614-4161. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We just had someone text this question in saying their last three digits is 356. And I don't understand your question. It says, it's this church group on the radio. I'm not certain what you meant by that. If you can rephrase that and text it back, we'd appreciate it. Again, that was the last three digits, 356. If you will rephrase that and we can understand it, and we'll try to go to the Bible for the answer. We have also a text question coming in. If the Bible indicates let everything on earth praise the Lord and God can, and God can use whatever he chooses, why do you say that women should not be preachers? Okay, well, first of all, the phrase that you bring out says that why do you say, and every time that someone asks a question that way, we will always come back and say, if we read it out of the Bible, it is not us saying anything. And so please don't give us credit for anything, because all we do is give you book, chapter, and verse. And so now, concerning the idea of women preaching and teaching over authority of a man, we would direct you to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And there you see where God gives instructions concerning women, how that they are to not teach or usurp authority over a man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, he says, let the women learn in silence and all submission. And I do not, this is God speaking, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. And so there's what God says concerning that. Now, does that mean that she's not supposed to teach at all? Well, again, we have to answer any kind of question with what God's word says. And thus we see God answers that question as well. in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, says, "The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." So, yes, they're to be teachers. "That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Teach them to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." So there, yes, they are supposed to teach. They're supposed to teach young women. They're supposed to teach children, obviously. We can see that as well there. Now, as far as preachers, as you put it there, the word preacher means someone that is speaking God's word. And so as they teach, they're speaking God's word. So we are to teach. It's not a matter of whether we are to teach or preach God's word. We are to teach. But there are restrictions as far as who and how that is to be done, not only for women, but for men as well. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he tells men to hush, that they're not supposed to be teaching as well in certain circumstances. And so in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about women and men, that they're not supposed to talk. They're not supposed to say anything. Well, when someone else is talking, everything was supposed to be done decently and in order. There's the bottom line, verse 40. But he says it's supposed to be one at a time by course. And at the most, two or three are to speak, verse 29. And so thus they are supposed to keep quiet as well. And especially if there is not in this case, with the practice of speaking in tongues, if there's not an interpreter, they're supposed to, yep, you've got it. They're supposed to keep quiet. So is it any surprise that he even continues that trend when you look at verse 34? "Let your woman keep silent in the churches, for they're not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church." And then he goes on to let us know real clear that this was not a Corinth thing. He let us know and them, if anyone, verse 37, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." So, my friend, I appreciate you calling in and texting in this question, which says, why do you say? Well, all we do is just go to the Bible, and we make no apology for that. And so if you have a problem with it, then you need to take it up with the author of the Bible. But the first part of your question, if the Bible indicates that everything on earth praises the Lord, the Bible doesn't indicate that. The devil certainly doesn't praise the Lord. Wickedness does not praise the Lord. Sin does not praise the Lord. So everything does not praise the Lord. God can use whomever he wants or whomever he chooses. Well, yes, but he gives man a free will, and he will not overrule our will. We're not puppets. He gives us a choice whether we want to praise him and to love him by doing what he says. John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, that praises the Lord. So if we're going to do what he says, then that is certainly a praise to God. But if we're not doing what he says, then that is certainly not praising God at all. Chuck?
And another thing about that, Ricky, is like we mentioned earlier with those Pharisees, they were living a certain way and doing certain things that they thought were pleasing to God. And so we should never allow ourselves to get to the point where we feel like no matter what we do, God's pleased with it. Well, we must know that if it doesn't line up with the word of God, and once again, we live under the New Testament. We can't go running back to the Old Testament to try to justify ourselves, because Galatians 5:4 says we will fall from grace. And so it has to be under Christ's New Testament law, the new covenant. We are going to be judged by that, John 12:48. So that's what we must go by. We must recognize that and know that our worship must be in spirit and in truth, and we must be able to obey God concerning those things. And we need to be able to help one another in that and recognizing that. And so that is the reason for our program. Let the Bible speak. We try to do just that. And when we get it wrong, we will admit that we get it wrong. But we, once again, like Ricky said, we will not apologize for just letting the Bible speak and doing and saying what God's word says. And it is our earnest prayer, hope, and desire that you would have the same heart and same mind and help us to help one another, that we may be able to see the Father that day. And so we thank you for joining us today during the program. Please be with us next week as we let the Bible speak.